ऐसे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो दिस इज चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 4 आई मीन टेक्स्ट इन टेक्स्ट 17 एंड 24. O vest of the Kuru dynasty, the supreme personality of Godhead, the super soul of everyone, being thus pleased, addressed Gayendra in the presence of everyone there. He spoke the following blessings. We skip the Sanskrit. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after giving these instructions, the Lord, who is known as Hrishikesh, bugled with his Panchajanya conchal, in this way pleasing all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma. Then he mounted the back of his carrier Garuda. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 8th canto, 4th chapter, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Gayendra Returns to the Spiritual World. So now we're in chapter 5. The demigods appeal to the Lord for protection. This chapter describes the fifth and sixth manas, and it also describes the prayers of the demigods and the curse of Durvasa Muni, the brother of Tamasa, the fourth Manu, who has previously been described, was the fifth Manu, Raivata. The sons of Raivata included Arjuna, Bali, and Vindhya. During the reign of this Manu, Indra, the king of heaven, was known as Vibhu. Among the demigods were the Bhutarayas, and among the seven rishis were Hiranyaroma, Vedashirsha, and Urdhvabahu. The rishi known as Subra by his wife Vaikuntha gave birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha. This Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested a Vaikuntha planet at the request of Rama Devi. His power and activities are mentioned in the third canto. The sixth manus was Chakshusa, the son of Chakshu Manu. Among the sons of the six Manus were Puru, Purusha, and Sudyumna. During the reign of these Manus, Mantradruma was Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. Among the demigods were the Appiyas, and among the seven rishis were Havishman and Viraka. The wife of Vairaja, whose name was Deva Sambhuti, gave birth to Ajita, an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Ajita, taking the shape of a tortoise and holding the mountain known as Mandara on his back, churned the ocean and produced nectar for the demigods. Maharaj Parikshit was very eager to hear about the churning of the ocean, and therefore, Sukadeva Goswami began to explain to him how the demigods, having been cursed by Durvasa Muni, were defeated in battle by the Asuras. When the demigods were deprived of their heavenly kingdom, they went to the assembly house of Lord Brahma and informed Lord Brahma of what had happened. Then Brahma, along with all the demigods, went to the shore of the ocean of milk and offered prayers to Shirodakasayi Vishnu. Now, text number one. Sri Sukha Uvacha Raya Nuditam Etate Hare Karma Ganasanam Gayendra Mokshanam Punyam Raivatan tuan taram srinu. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continue. O king, I have described to you the pastimes of Gajendra Mokshana, which is most pious to hear. By hearing of such activities of the Lord, one can be free from all sinful reactions. Now please listen as I describe Raivata Manu. Text number 2. Panchamo Raivato Nama Manustama Sasadara Bali Vindyadarastasya Sutta Harjuna Purvaka. The brother of Tamasa Manu was the fifth Manu named Raivata. His sons were headed by Arjuna, Bali, and Vindhya. Text number 3. Viburindra Suragana Rayam Bhutarayadaya Hiranyaroma Vedasira Urdhava Dayodvija. Translation. O king, in the millennium of Raivata Muni, the king of heaven was known as Vibhu. Among the demigods were the Bhutarayas, and among the seven Brahmanas who occupied the seven planets were Hiranyaroma, Vedashirsha, and Urdhva Bahu. Text number 4. Padni Vikunta Subrasya Vaikuntai Surasattama Tayoswa Kalayak Yagne Vaikunto Bhagavan Swayam. Translation. From the combination of Subra and his wife, Vaikunta, there appeared the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikunta, along with demigods who were his personal plenary expansions. Now, text number 5, which is on the board. Vaikunta Kalpito Yena. Loko Loka Namaskrita Ramaya Pratyamanena Devyatatri Yakamyaya Vaikunta Kalpito Yena Loko Loka Namaskrita Ramaya Pratyamanena Pratyamanena Devyatat Priyakamyaya. Please repeat. Vaikunta Kalpito Yena Loko Loka Namaskrita Ramaya Pratyamanena Devyatat Priyakamyayam Vaikunta Kalpito Yena Loko Loka Namaskrita Ramaya Pratyamanena Namaskrita Maya Kavya Manena Vaikunta Kalpito Yena Ramaya Prakityamanena Devyatat Priyakamyaya. Vaishnavis. Vaikunta Kalpito Yena Lokuloka namaskrita. Vaikuntha planet Kalpita was constructed Yena by whom? Loka planet Loka Namaskrita worshipped by all people Ramaya by Rama, the goddess of fortune Pratyamanena, being so requested, Devya, by the goddess, Tat, her, Priyakamyaya, just to please. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki, just to please the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha, at her request, created another Vaikuntha planet, which is worshipped by everyone. Purport. Srila Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks here that this Vaikuntha planet, like Srimad Bhagavatam, appears and is said to be born or created, but both Srimad Bhagavatam and Vaikuntha eternally exist beyond the material universes, which are enveloped by eight kinds of coverings, as described in the second canto. Lord Rama saw Vaikuntha before the creation of the universe. Viraragava Acharya mentions that this Vaikuntha, it is within the universe. It is situated above the mountain known as Loka Loka. This planet is worshipped by everyone. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Gaur Govinda Swami Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Giri Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. So, in order to be fair with this particular verse, but the description of this verse goes like this. Just to please the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha, at her request created another Vaikuntha planet, which is worshipped by everyone. So it is mentioned here in the canto number 2, chapter 9. This is a nice description and purport by Srila Prabhupada, so please bear with me. I will read because he explains properly so you can have a good understanding of this verse. Translation: the Personality of Godhead, being thus very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, was pleased to manifest his personal abode by Kunta, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, free from all kinds of miseries and fear of illusory existence. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The troubles of penance accepted by Lord Rama were certainly in the line of devotional service, bhakti, parenthesis, bhakti. Otherwise, there was no chance that Vaikuntha or Swalokan, the Lord's personal abode, will become visible to Brahmaji. The personal abodes of the Lord known as Vaikunthas are neither mythical nor material as conceived by the impersonalist, but realization of the transcendental abodes of the Lord is possible only through devotional service. And thus the devotees enter into such abodes, there is undoubtedly trouble in executing penances, but the trouble accepted in executing bhakti yoga is transcendental happiness from the very beginning, where is the trouble of penances in other processes of self-realization, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, etc., without any Vaikuntha realizations, ends in trouble only and nothing more. There is no profit in beating husks without grains. Similarly, there is no profit in executing troublesome penances other than bhakti yoga for self-realization. Executing bhakti yoga is exactly like sitting on the lotus sprouted out of the abdomen of the transcendental personality of Godhead. For Lord Brahma was seated there. Brahmaji was able to please the Lord, and the Lord was also pleased to show Brahmaji his personal abode. Srila Jiva Goswami is in the comments of his Krishna Sandarbha annotations of Srimad Bhagavatam cites quotations from the Garga Upanishad, very evidence. It is said the Yajnavalkya described the transcendental abode of the Lord to Gargi, and that the abode of the Lord is situated above the highest planet of the universe, namely Brahmaloka. This abode of the Lord, although described in revealed scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, remains only a myth for the less intelligent class of men with a poor fund of knowledge. Herein, the word swa drishtyadi is very insignificant, is very significant. One who has actually realized his self realizes the transcendental form of one's self. Impersonal realization of self and the Supreme is not complete because it is just an opposite conception of material personalities. The personality of Godhead and the personalities of devotees of the Lord are all transcendental. They do not have material bodies. The material body is overcast with five kinds of miserable conditions, namely ignorance, material conceptions, attachments, hatred, and absorption. As long as one is overwhelmed by these five kinds of material miseries, there's no question of entering into the Vaikuntha Lokas. The impersonal conception of oneself as just the negation of material personality and is far from the positive existence of personal form. The personal forms of the transcendental abode will be explained in the following verses. Brahmaji also described the highest planet of the Vaikuntha Loka, Agoloka Vrindavan, where the Lord resides as a cowherd boy by keeping transcendental Surabhi cows and surrounded by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Chintamani prakarasatma sukalpa vriksha Lakshavritesho suravira vipalayantam Lakshmi sahasra satasam brahmasevyamanam Govindanadi purusham tamaham vayami. Brahma Sanhita 5:29. The statements of the Bhagavad Gita Jadgatvana nivartante taddama paramam mama is also confirmed herewith. Param means transcendental Brahman. Therefore, the abode of the Lord is also Brahman, not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is known as Vaikuntha, and his abode is also known as Vaikuntha. Such Vaikuntha realizations and worship can be made possible by transcendental form and sense. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. It's beautiful explanation by Srila Prabhupada. Without the help of the acharyas, we are totally confused and bewildered. So we are indebted to all this. Since Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, the Sis Goswamis, all the way to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, to be able to have a little glimpse and carefully understand. Otherwise, we will fall in the same platform as the Mayavadis, impersonalists. And we will never be able to understand these transcendental topics. So we've been hearing previous chapters about the prayers of Gajendra. And I was just considering that, yes, prayer is like the basic, you know, the basis of any religious group, not just us. You know, the Muslim, the Islamists, they pray, the Christians, they pray. We also pray. So what will make a difference between one and another one? In one sense, you can say it's not much, it's only the feeling. And that individual person, in whichever group you are, if you have that feeling, we have seen in all these different scriptures, I mean in our readings, how Gajendra made those prayers out of course he's suffering, he's struggling, so his prayers go with a lot of feeling. So similarly, you know, if a person wants to understand Krishna, God, in whichever form they understand, and if they put that deep feeling with so much love, they can get the mercy. So in that sense, we're not different. But we are fortunate that we have hundreds and hundreds of information of prayers, like the prayers of Lord Prahlad Maharaj, the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj, the prayers of the Six Goswamis, the prayers of our Srila Prabhupada when he came to America, when he was boarding on the boat. You read those prayers, how much humility and how much depth into those prayers. So what I learned from that is that, yes, let's pray, but with a lot of feeling, and we have the best, I mean, we understand we have the best prayer, like the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So also we heard that getting up in the morning is so important. Like the Lord gives blessing just by getting up in the morning and meditating in His beautiful form. You get immediately free from reactions. Some devotees have been doing this for 45 years, very fortunate souls. I like what Subhas mentioned the other day. My only qualification is that I stay. That's very meaningful. That I also had one, you know, sometimes devotees, we take pride, and it's good to take pride in something that you do for your spiritual progress. I remember one time when, 13 years, I never missed one Mongol Arati. And I was like, wow, you know, I was like feeling so good about it. Unfortunately, later on, certain things happened, but I missed one or two, not because of, I want to say Maya, but I actually went to see family members, go and visiting relatives, and then you get a little bit distracted, maybe in your sadhana. But it feels so good that you just come every day, and you're like, your sadhana, you're fixed, you're loyal to the Lord. You actually don't, we're supposed to not see no difference between the Murti and Krishna himself. So prayers are so important. So we have the best prayer, the Maha Mantra prayer. And as far as the feeling goes, yeah, we should dive really into those feelings. Just like Mother Kunti Devi, in one of her prayers, she says, just like the Ganges forever flows to the ocean and never get diverted, similarly, let my mind not be diverted to your lotus feet. He's praying to Krishna like that. That's a beautiful prayer. If we just say one prayer of that, it's like, that's all you need. But of course, we have many of them. Prahlad Maharaj mentions, he says, oh, best of the giver of benedictions, my Lord, please, if you want to give me one benediction, take away from me these material desires. And it's beautiful. And of course, we have the Guru Puja, we have Mangalarti, we have Tulsi prayers. Oh, such a Rasika prayers. And what are we praying there, you know? Tulasi, beloved of Krishna, please be kind to me. You know, let me be follower of the damsels of Braja. And yes, so whatever prayer you do, you will go there, because Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita mentions, you want to go to the ancestors here, you want to go to the demigods here, you want to come with me, pray to me. So now, with your permission, I would like to mention, today is a very auspicious day. It's very, very auspicious. It's Gadadhara Pandit Prabhu's appearance day. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned, Panchadatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyan. What's the next line? Namami Panchanakchakyam. It is mentioned there that I offer my respectful obeisance to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, who comes as a devotee, and to his expansion, to his immediate expansion, who is Lord Nityananda, Balaram himself, the original Guru, and Sri Advaita Prabhu, his incarnation of a devotee, who is Sadashiva, Mahavishnu himself. Just imagine, what great personalities. And who are they? Lord Nityananda and Lord Advaita are assisting. They are they're God's servitors, O Mahaprabhu. And then you have, I offer my obeisances to the pure devotee. Who is that? Narada Muni. And who is Narada Muni in Goralila? Srivas Pandit. And then I offer my obeisances to Gadadhara. Who is Gadadhara Pandit? He's Radharani, Kladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord. So, see here, we are dealing with a really esoteric, high topic for us, conditioned souls, at least myself, totally not qualified to speak about this subject matter. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can just glorify them and invoke the mercy of these great personalities. We can understand these topics only if we invoke the mercy of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those dear devotees. Then we can enter into, otherwise Lord Chaitanya will not give the mercy. It's impossible to go directly. So through them. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, through his devotees, teaches many varieties of things. So Gadadhara Pandit Prabhu, Gadadhara Pandit comes as a devotee, but we know he's Radharani herself. Now someone will say, wait a minute. We know that the combination of Radha and Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is taking the bhav, the emotions of Radharani. And then Gadadhara Pandit, Radharani, two Radharanis. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Everything is possible. Because in the transcendental realm, just like Krishna, it has innumerable incarnations, many, many. So Radharani is Krishna himself. Radharani, she can do that too. So there is no contradictions in there. But in this particular time of Gaura Lila, Gadadhara doesn't take the mood of, the bhav that Radharani has. It's Lord Chaitanya's. You know, Krishna took it away from her, and he's in order for him to relish Radharani's love for him, because as we know, Krishna himself came to experience what is Radharani feeling for me, what is she sees on me, what is that love that she has and the happiness that she derives. I want to know that. So that bhav, that emotion is Mahaprabhu comes with that. So then Gadadhara Pandit is like, you know, like stay back a little bit. You know, it's like he plays the role of a devotee, but he's assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience that. So, Gadadhara Pandit is mentioned that he was born in Chatragram. His father was Madhava Mishra, and his mother was Ratnavati Devi. And they were Bangladesh, they moved to Navadvip. They were next neighbors to Sri Sachi Mata in Jagannath Mishra. So from the beginning of their lives, Gadadhara Pandit and Nimai, they were like good friends. It is said that it was like a shadow, always together. And the characteristics of Gadadhara Pandit is described that he was very kind, very, very mellow, very gentle, very relaxed, tranquil. And he was not interested in frivolous activities, not at all. He was just interested in one thing, in Krishna. And natural so, because he's Radharani. So, unlike Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's mischievous, he's naughty, he used to cause some grief and anxiety to some people around, like when he was going going in the Ganga when he was a little boy child. He would pull the legs of the brahmanas, the sikha, and he would just spill water on their, you know, on their face. And amazingly, you know, mischievous, very transcendental. And total different. So Gadadhara Pandit was different. He was very reserved. Sometimes he would just stay away from controversies. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he displayed his lila of Nimai Pandit, he would used to argue and meet people and challenge them. And Gadadhara Pandit was like, what is he doing? I don't want to be around him like that. But at the same time, he loves Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he couldn't bear to be near to him, but he can't be with that mood. He's different in that sense. So he would try to avoid, and it was like a dilemma for him. And like that, one time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Gadadhar, what is the meaning of liberation, mukti? And Gadadhar gave his explanation, to be free from, beyond the bondage of material existence, to be situated free from the modes of material nature. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, wrong. He said, wrong. Of course, incomplete. Go home, study your books, come back tomorrow. And he's like, what am I going to do, Gadadhara Pandit? What am I going to do, you know? But he was kind, gentle, and left. And in that time also, there was a great personality who came to Navadvip. This personality was not other than Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gadadhara Pandit was so attracted to reading Srimad Bhagavatam and to hear about Krishna that when Ishwara Puri came, he was just like an iron to a magnet. It's like perfectly. So he was hearing from him every day, and Ishwara Puri was very attracted to see the nature of this boy, very attracted to Krishna Katha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come also. He will come. Eventually, one day, but by this, before one time, they were walking in the Ganges, and there was a big gathering of devotees. And Gadadhara Pandit said to Ishwara Puri, you see those devotees there, and you see the person there? He said, yeah. He jested. He said, that's Nimai Pandit, just before he met him. He says, oh, he said, he is one of the most learned personalities in Navadvip. Even the elder brahmanas, they have respect for him. And Ishwara Puri said, can you introduce me to him? He said, certainly. So they went, they made a presentation, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he folded his hands with all respect, and he said that I am the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, and on their behalf, would you please come to my home to honor some prasadam? Some, and he said, yes. So they went, and he did all the arrangements, like the Vedic tradition, you know, worship him, and the formalities. After they have lunch sometime, he said, Ishwarapuri said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I heard that you're a very learned pandit. Would you be kind to find some faults, maybe, or some discrepancy, because you're very expert in grammar. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, oh, no, I cannot do that. It's like transgressing such a saintly, holy personality like yourself. How could you be wrong? And for me to try to correct something, you know, about your writing, it wouldn't be appropriate. So I don't want to do that. Ishwarapuri said, actually, whatever gift Krishna has given you, you should do it. It's a service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard that, he said, okay, as a service, I'll do it. So then days passed by. One day he looked, and he mentioned to him, yeah, I found something. He says, what is it? He says, well, in that sentence that you were writing, it doesn't mean this, it will mean that, it will be better like this. And he said, well, okay, let me consider. So the next day he came back, Ishwarapuri, and said, actually, he said, you know, what you told me to correct, I purposely meant to write it like that, because if I change what you said, it will mean something different. Therefore, it's correct. Thank you for your trying. And it's amazing because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu folded his hand in a very humble way, and he didn't came up with a, how do you say, counter or arguments, because he's known, he's Nimai Pandit, he's just battling with everyone. He was always in a bellicose mood, just whoever would say, tell me this, and argue back and forth. That's called something like sophistry. Sophistry is like when you juggle words just to prove your point, and then what do you think about my point? Oh, that was correct. Well, actually, it's wrong. I mean this. And what do you think? Oh, that's good. He says, actually, that was also wrong. And he would just go like that. So that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after that, actually, Ishwarapuri did not, at that time, he was not his spiritual master yet, but he became the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from him later, but Gadadhara Pandit took initiation by Pundarika Vidyanidhi. So that story of Pundarika Vidyanidhi actually was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who said, I had a dream. Last night there was a dazzling chariot that came with a great personality. It's amazing. I don't know who that is, but it's great. And then Mukunda Datta, who was a good friend of Gadadhara Pandit, said, oh, I know that you always like to go and see sadhus. Would you like to come with me? I'll take you. So they went. Gadadhara Pandit arrived. And you know the nature of Gadadhara Pandit, very renowned from childhood and very serious about Krishna consciousness, about Krishna. He arrived and he saw Pundarika Vidyanidhi sitting in a bell, in a pillows, very silky, and he had jewelry all over, beautiful hair, calm nicely, mirrors in front of the walls. He would look at himself and smile, and he had a perfect tilak with sandalwood and even, how do you call what the Matajis put here? Gopinath here. He looked like a movie star from Hollywood. And he was like, wow, what is this? You know, he was like distracted and something is wrong here. So Mukunda Datta understood what Gadadhara Pandit was thinking, and he started singing beautiful songs to from the Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the how merciful Krishna is. That's when Putana came to kill Krishna as a baby. And how merciful, No one is more merciful than my Supreme Lord. And he's singing like that, and Pundarika Vidyanidhi, just hearing this, he just threw himself in the ground. His arms were flying all over. His clothes were ripping apart. The pots around here were thrown in the ground. He was totally experiencing those sattvika bhavas, highest emotions. So then, at that time, Gadadhara Pandit really realized, oh, what am I doing? I did something wrong here. This is a great elevated personality. In order to be able to counteract my offense, I have to, you know, he reveals to Mukunda, I think I should take initiation from him definitely. And when Mukunda Datta heard that, say yes. And then when Pundarika Vidyanidhi came back to life, I mean, when he came back to his senses again, he heard that. He says, what's going on? He says, well, you know, here is Mukunda Datta said, here is Gadadhara Pandit from childhood. He's always attracted to Krishna. He's very renounced. He's described all the beautiful things of him. And he says, he was thinking wrongly about you, but now he wants to take initiation. He says, oh, only after millions of lifetimes one gets the benediction of Krishna to have such a disciple like Gadadhara Pandit. And then later on the initiation was done. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard about this, he encouraged Gadadhara Pandit. He said, yes, go ahead, do it. So like that, there's not enough time. There's hundreds of pastimes of Gadadhara Pandit. Also, if you enter into one pastime, it will take another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes. But I can just mention that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his deities are Goranga. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he established temples of Gora Goranga. And amazingly, can get away with this, maybe let me see. How did that came to be Gora Goranga? One time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to take Gorgadharhar. Thank you, Prabhu. Gorgadharhar. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with Gadadhara to see a brother of him whose name is Dvija Baninath, he says, I'm going to take sannyas initiation and going to Jagannath Puri. He says, my lord, what are you doing? What am I going to do? What's going to happen to me? And actually, Lord Chaitanya just kept it like a secret, just to Lord Nityananda, Gadadhara Pandi, and a few other ones. Don't tell anyone else, because the whole Navadvip will get crazy about Lord Chaitanya moving out of Navadvip. And so he said, my Lord, what am I going to do? What's going to happen to me? Very sincerely. And then Lord Chaitanya sanctioned a deity, Gora Goranga. Gora Gadadhar. So then, from that time on, Gora Gadadhar, he would worship that deity. And there's many, many more pastimes about Gadadhara Pandit. But if we invoke the mercy of Gadadhara Pandit and the Panchatattva, then because they came here to relish, the Panchatattva came here to this world to relish love of God and to teach us love of God. So for us, is to actually relish also. And how do we do this? Through Harinam Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan ki? Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Without this process, we cannot relish. We have to develop the taste for chanting, so we will never go outside. We have to develop the taste for dancing. We have to develop the taste for giving also this. Once you have it, you want to give it to other people. Because if you don't give it, and then it's like it's not enough, it's not complete. And that's what Gadadhara Pandit would like us to see. You relish. It's not, this process is not about struggling or suffering or like, no, it's about relishing and tasting and giving it to others. Gadadhara Pandit Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanande. Yeah.